Hello and welcome back to the Security Hazard Podcast. This is Jack, flying solo for this week. AC is currently away at the London Film and Comic Con. He's been manning the Gerry Anderson table, talking to fans, selling merchandise, that kind of thing. He's been having a good time. I've been getting updates. Him and Chris Thompson and Jamie Anderson have been running the show, and looks like they've had a lot of fun. They've had all sorts of giveaways, things like that have been going on. It looks like it's been a very fun event, so well done to them for putting on a good fun show. They even had a 6 foot tall, roughly 6 foot tall, cardboard cutout of Captain Scarlet on display, which people have been taking selfies with. They even had a competition for cosplayers. If you went and got a photo taken with Captain Scarlet, I believe you won some sort of prize as well. All sorts of fun things like that. So it's just wonderful to kind of, think that, the Gerry Anderson, legacy can have a presence at, such a big event. And there have been some, it was a huge event. Lots of very interesting guests attending and things like that. So if you had the chance to attend that convention, very, very lucky indeed. That was very good fun. Very wonderful to see. I thought this week we'd just take a little look at some Gerry Anderson news and things like that, things that are upcoming and, things that have come out this week. The kind of biggest item of news, I would say, is the release of Terrorhawks Series 3 from Big Finish. If you're not familiar, Terrorhawks, Gerry Anderson's 80s puppet series starring Dr. Tiger Einstein and Zelda, that was adapted to audio by Big Finish. The project started a couple of years ago, and they've been recording brand new audio adventures with the majority of the original cast. So Jeremy Hitchin, Denise Breyer, and Robbie Stevens came back to reprise their roles, as well as Beth Chalmers joined the cast to fill in the roles of Kate Kestrel and Sistar. And they've done, it's a superb piece of work. I mean, it really is. There's three box sets, 8 episodes on each, so you've got a total of 24 new Terrorhawks adventures, and they are as close to the kind of original feel of the series as you can possibly get, while also diverting and doing lots of new and interesting and very complex, intricate things with it. It's just outstanding. It's kind of Terrorhawks turned up to 11. It really is just like stories that are so deep and, as I said, complex and just really, really interesting, trying to pull and change and twist the format in lots of weird and interesting ways. It actually makes the original series look very vanilla, which I never thought I would say about Terrorhawks, because Terrorhawks is weird and wonderful and wacky and not to everyone's taste because of how kind of just weird and out there it is. But if you can imagine such a thing, this series, the audio series, kind of does a lot to kind of, I would say, fix some of the things in the original. I mean, the original TV series, in my opinion at least, is wonderful entertainment. I think it's bizarre, weird, wacky, but also lots of action and adventure. It tries to go to really dark places sometimes, other times it's quite light and, really good fun. So it does that, and the audio series plays with that, of going to some really dark places, but also having some really bizarre humour in there as well. And the way it's mixed together is a very unique kind of formula that they've got going on there. And some of the stories, particularly in this third series, really do play upon that. It's treated very seriously, with complex kind of plots going on. I've used the word complex quite a lot, but that's the best way I can describe it. Not complex in a kind of confusing way, but just in a mature, I guess mature would be a better word to describe it. You have genuine emotional depth to a lot of the characters that wasn't there in the original series. I don't want to kind of spoil or give too much away. I really want you to go and, have a listen to it. And the good thing that is about each individual audio box set, even though there are three of them, I would say you probably can jump in at any point to get a kind of flavour for it. It would be best to start at the beginning, because there's a kind of story arc throughout the whole thing that kind of builds to this point at the end of series three, and it's just really, really nice the way that that works. But yeah, the characters have a lot more emotional depth. There's a lot more kind of going on between them. Things are played with, like the idea that Ninestein is a clone of, you know, there are nine different Ninestein clones, and when one dies, another one can just kind of hop in and have a brain transfer and take over the role. But that's kind of turned on its head a little bit, particularly in this last series, you know, and it kind of tests and pushes and pulls the formula, and the character of Ninestein, who was not always, you know, the most popular kind of Anderson hero, he was unconventional. I mean, I quite like him, but, you know, he's unconventional and different and a little kind of grumpy and irritable, and, you know, and I quite like that, but they kind of changed that up a little bit for this third series in a kind of very interesting way, and it kind of explores the strengths of the original character versus this kind of new, slightly different character. I don't want to give away too much, but it's like really good in the way that those characters are kind of pushed and pulled and tested, and yeah. And of course, you know, all the cast do a superb job of slipping straight back into the roles. I mean, really, really, truly, I never thought it would come out as well as it has. That, you know, Denise Breyer, who's been, you know, doing voice acting for many, many years, has just slipped straight back into the roles of Zelda. I mean, she is superb as Zelda. I don't think Zelda's ever been as good as she is in this series. She is truly evil and nasty and twisted, and the performance is just so full of energy, it's incredible. But at the same time, Denise Breyer's also been able to slip back with relative ease into the role of Mary Falconer, who's sort of younger and more naive, and, well, naive, that probably wouldn't be the word, but sort of, I don't know, just there's a youthful energy about her, which is just wonderful. And it really is just so full of energy. The cast are brilliant at playing the humour, but they also go to places with the kind of more emotional side of things, particularly in this last series, this series three, places that you just never would have thought Terrahawks would ever go. And it's in the scripts and it's superb, but the way it's performed is just so surprising and shocking and really, really just not what you would expect from Terrahawks, but also, I believe, from any kind of Gerry Anderson production. You're kind of going, wow, these are Gerry Anderson characters, but they have such believability about them. Like, they seem so real. It really is just incredible. So that's what I would take away from Series 3, is just give it a go, man. It's not Terrahawks in the way that you would expect it to be. But at the same time, it is uncannily like the original series in the way it feels. You know, all that kind of retro 80s stuff is still in there, but it's all been kind of modernized a little bit in the way that the stories are told and things like that. Okay, I think that kind of gives you a rough overview of that. And of course, Big Finish are working on lots of other projects. Well, they're working on a Captain Scarlet 50th anniversary project, which involves Liz Morgan and Wayne Forrester working on adapting these books, these novels, into audio dramas, with Wayne Forrester playing. Wayne Forrester, of course, was the voice of new Captain Scarlet, and he has been brought in to provide a lot of the male character voices, because unfortunately there's not really many of the original Captain Scarlet cast still around to kind of revive their roles. But Wayne Forrester, it sounds like, from the video trailers and everything else, has really kind of captured the essence of a lot of those original voices, you know, for the purposes of just telling the story. Because they're adapted from audiobooks, so they're not kind of fully played out audio dramas, as far as I understand. They're going to be sort of adapted from audiobooks, so the story's being told, so the voices are as near to the originals as you can probably get. And of course, Liz Morgan has come back. She was the original voice of Destiny Angel, Harmony Angel, and Rhapsody Angel. Yep, just about remember to... I just about remembered that. And she's come back to reprise all the female roles. So she's doing these original Angels and then also doing the other two. So Symphony and Melody. And I, if there are other female roles that turn up in the series, in those audiobooks, then she's doing those as well. And it seems like a kind of wonderful idea. They're trying to do as much for the Captain Scarlet 50th anniversary as they can possibly do. So as well as these newly recorded audiobooks, they're also going to be releasing the original kind of mini album adaptations. So I can't remember exactly which episodes are involved in those, but it's going to be, you know, a very wide selection of Captain Scarlet stories told by a lot of the original cast who would have recorded those mini albums, including, I think, a few kind of new ones that were recorded by Ed Bishop a little bit later as well. I think those are going to be included as well. So those are, that is really wonderful to see, or to hear, I should say. So we look forward to that release coming out. I think there's also a documentary going to be included in there, a brand new kind of Captain Scarlet documentary, talking with as many of the original kind of cast and crew as are available. And that's going to be great to kind of hear the tale of how Captain Scarlet came to be, what it was like in comparison to Thunderbirds, and, you know, the legacy of the whole series is going to be very, very interesting to hear. So looking forward to hearing that. Let's see, what other news have we got? Very interesting article actually came out on the Gerry Anson website about video games. Thunderbirds video games, to be precise. It's very interesting, actually, because, unfortunately, Thunderbirds just never really, I feel at least, enjoyed the kind of legacy of video games that I believe that it deserved. It just never quite got as good as it could have been. They have very sort of little games released on Game Boy, and then there was a PlayStation 2 game, and it was all just pretty terrible, to be honest with you. The kind of, I mean, they're all right. They did the basics. They're very kind of kiddie orientated, and they weren't that complex or difficult, or if they were, they're just very cheaply produced. So, you know, certain functionalities of the games just didn't work all that well, and the stories were very underdeveloped. I believe there is genuinely a mission in, I think, the PlayStation 2 Thunderbirds game where you have to rescue some cows. It's not that great. It could have been so much more developed. And it actually reminds me of, it's actually mentioned at the bottom of this article, an article which Chris Thompson worked on a few years ago. I think it was on the Fanderson blog at one point, talking about his ideas for a Thunderbirds video game, having a fully open world 3D game where you can control any Thunderbirds vehicle that you need for a task. And I just think the way video games have evolved over the past, I mean, even the past 10 years, but beyond that, it would be quite extraordinary to see a fully kind of fully built out, fully thought about, with a proper story behind it and everything, video game. Of course, I think the Thunderbirds cooperative board game from Modiphius, that really showed the absolute pinnacle of what a Thunderbirds board game could be like. I mean, we've had Thunderbirds board games in the past. Some of them have been good, some have been not that great. But that cooperative board game that was released for the 50th anniversary really, really was like the top end of what I believe a Thunderbirds board game could be. It's carefully thought about, well designed, beautifully, you know, put together, you know, really, really good quality product. Not just put out to kind of try and make a quick buck. You know, something that had been really thought about to make a good Thunderbirds board game. And I think it's time for that to happen with a video game. Or at least I would hope that. Obviously, video game production, particularly on the level that I'm talking about, sort of a really major piece of work, that costs a lot of money. And you need to kind of get a lot of money behind that. And you have to obviously weigh up whether Thunderbirds has that appeal. There are, I mean, Thunderbirds I'll Go, the new series, did get a mobile phone game of some description, but I mean, that was just a kind of reskinning of, I think it was Temple Run or something like that. Anyway, it was sort of still just not quite what anyone was after. So yeah, just a really good, strong Thunderbirds video game. I would play the heck out of that. That would be unbelievably good to see. Actually, one game I remember that actually did come quite close to being, you know, pretty good, you know, not anything amazing, but had a lot of kind of good features, was there was a game released by, I think it's called Europress was the name of the company, called Vault of Doom, and it was based entirely on the Thunderbirds episode Vault of Death, which seems like an unusual choice to kind of have for a video game, but actually works really well. If you can pick up a copy of Thunderbirds Vault of Doom, I would definitely say try that one out. That one kind of had a lot of decent, I mean, not, again, nothing revolutionary in terms of gameplay, but you had 3D, you know, constructed, you know, models and worlds to kind of play around in. You had I remember there's sort of, it's telling the story through a lot of mini games. So you've got Thunderbird 1 has to land on different buildings in London, and you have to do a lot of mathematics to work out some codes. So that's one level. You have another level where you've just got to get Thunderbird, you've got to land Thunderbird 2 at London Airport. And I particularly remember that because you can actually see a row of Fireflash planes lined up in like a fleet on the runway, and it just looks so cool. But yeah, Thunderbird 2 having to land on a runway, you have to get it through like the different barriers and things like that. That was really cool. I'm trying to remember some of the other mini games. You had to drive Fab 1 to London as quick as possible, because that's obviously quite an integral part of Vault of Death, the original story. So there's all sorts of little levels like that. I think it also had like a kind of comic strip maker type thing, where you just had lots of images from the original series, and you just put them together to make a story. I mean, it was really kind of primitive, but it was good fun at the time. I had a lot of fun with that game as a kid, so that would be the one. I think, you know, if you're left with any Thunderbirds video game, that one was all right. I think there was another one called Operation Volcano. I never got a chance to play that one, so if you did, let me know, because I was actually, you know, really like to see what the gameplay for that was like. But yeah, as I say, I would love to see a kind of properly built out Thunderbirds video game, with all the different vehicles, being able to control them, kind of being able to pick, you know, your own mission objectives, how you're going to solve a rescue crisis with really dramatic visuals and all the rest of it. I think that'd be really kind of cool to actually have as a video. I mean, it'll probably never happen, but I would love to see it. I would definitely get behind any project that sort of tried to do that in a big way. So yeah, that article, it's on the Jerry Anderson website. It just kind of goes out back into the history of Thunderbirds video games a little bit. I would definitely recommend kind of giving that a read and just thinking about it. Let me know your thoughts. Are there any kind of major big gamers out there who kind of know a lot about video games and how they're made? You know, do you ever think it would be possible to get a Thunderbirds video game, a proper Thunderbirds video game made? Because I know I'd love to see that. But yeah, so let me think about other kind of upcoming Jerry Anderson projects. Of course, later this year we've got the big Chief Studios figures are coming out. Myself and AC have kind of talked about these on the podcast before. They do look incredible. I've seen photos of them on display at different events and things like that. And of course, you've got Virgil and Scott Tracy from Thunderbirds, and then you've also got Captain Scarlet as well. And they've been, you know, specially sculpted so that, you know, the Captain Scarlet one has correct human proportions, whereas the Thunderbirds ones have, you know, the slightly larger heads. Although I've seen this photo floating around the internet where someone has edited it. I don't know how this has happened, but someone's edited it in such a way that it makes the head look a lot larger than it actually is going to be. So I just want to say, sort of, take a look at the official photos released by Big Chief Studios. That's going to give you kind of the most accurate look at what these are going to look like. You know, I wouldn't necessarily rely on photography taken by just random people kind of at, you know, these events, taking photos from slightly the wrong angle. They wouldn't look right. I'm sure the camera does not do them justice. I'm sure they look the best kind of in the flesh, as it were, because they've got, they have all the interchangeable parts as well, like sort of the way you can have your, for example, you can have your Scott Tracy with his hat on, or if you don't want the hat on, you can take the whole kind of top piece off and replace it with a separate piece that is just his hair. And that means it's kind of, it will always look right and complete, no matter how you have it configured. And you have all these different hand pieces that, I think it's different hand pieces or possibly flexible fingers, I'm not entirely sure actually, but you know, they can grip and hold different props and things like that that come with the figures. Of course, you know, they do come with a bit of a price tag, but to be honest, I think for what you get, which is going to be, you know, the best Thunderbirds figures that I think we've ever seen, and certainly Captain Scarlet as well, it's going to be very good. So I would recommend getting behind this project. You know, perhaps even if you can't necessarily afford to pick them up, because they, you know, they're going to be a little bit pricey, but not anything too extreme, I would say. You know, get behind this project. At least if you can't afford it, then just say, this is really good. This is a great thing to see, because at the end of the day, in order to get more good merchandise out there, not kind of cheap, you know, slightly rubbishy stuff that we've seen over and over and over again, to get brand new, really good quality stuff out there, it needs to have fan support. That's how these things are going to get made. So, for example, a Thunderbirds video game, if anyone ever had the idea or proposed the idea, get behind it and say, yes, I want to see that made. Because otherwise, even if, you know, I don't know, if you're not that into video games, fair enough, but if, you know, you want to keep seeing new Thunderbirds products, the best way to do it is just to support whatever you see that you like. If you don't like it and you don't want to support it, fair enough, that's fine too, but if you can see other people liking it, or you can see it being a benefit to, you know, Thunderbirds or any other Gerry Anderson project kind of getting more well-known, getting bigger, that's the way to do it. So tell Big Finish you want to see a Thunderbirds audio drama. They'll be able to turn around to someone like ITV, I guess, and say, hey, you know, people have been asking for this. We really want to make it. Let's do it. That would be my assumption. Kind of the best way to go about it is just to say, to just keep badgering people. Just keep saying, hey, I want to see this. Why can't we see this? And at the end of the day, who knows what might happen? It's always worth a try. So I guess that's my message from today's podcast. There's a lot of amazing kind of big projects coming up or have recently come out. Definitely pick up Terrorhawks from Big Finish. Give it a try. Look forward to the Captain Scarlet release that's coming up soon as well. And also, if any mad person wants to make a Thunderbirds video game, support them. And of course, the Big Chief Studio figures, definitely kind of give those your support as well. And by doing that, it could lead to bigger, brighter things to come. So I've been Jack Knoll. This has been the Security Hazard Podcast. Thank you very much for watching, and look forward to talking to you again soon. Bye-bye.